This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily on a Thursday. Hope you're having a great start to your morning. I'm Tommy Gester. Jacob Albrock is out today. Max Power is producing the program here for us. The KFH hotline will be open the majority of the morning. You can give us a call anytime at 869-1240 if you'd like to chime in and join the program here this morning. You can also leave your comments on our video stream. We're streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, also simulcasting on the 12 News Connected app as well. You can leave your comments there. We'll get to them as the show goes on. On top of that, you can also leave us your voice messages on the free Odyssey app. All you have to do is download that Odyssey app, listen to KFH Radio on the app, click the little microphone button, and just like that, you can leave us. It's basically a voicemail. We can play it back here on the program as we move forward this morning. A lot to get to on the show today. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider, will join us in the next hour to talk a little K-State, including the big news of PJ Haggerty joining the Wildcats, and that's a big get for Kansas State basketball. We'll get Fitz's take on that. Also, a lot to get to as far as college football is concerned and the CFP and seeding and all of that. We always love to get Fitz's take on that, and so we'll talk to him about that in the next hour of the program. The Royals salvage the series against the Reds. They get the win last night, another stellar outing from Noah Cameron on the bump last night. He's been doing something that no other pitcher has done since like the late 1800s. We'll talk about that, and also some news about a new ballpark for the Royals as well that came down late yesterday. And we've got our first team in the NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder cruise past the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, and they go to the finals. They win that series 4-1 after beating the T-Wolves by 30 points. That and a bunch more that we'll get to on the program today. Max Power, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Oh, Brandon, wherever you are, wake up.
Yeah, so a little backstory, a little inside baseball here with us. So
he's sad that the Timberwolves lost.
I think that might actually be it. Jacob Albrock is out today. Brandon Zinner, our buddy from 12 News, was scheduled to join us this morning. We don't have him here this morning, so it's myself, it's Max, and hopefully as the show goes on, we'll be able to have Brandon join us here on the program today. You might be right, though, Max, because he is a diehard T-Wolves fan. He's a Minnesota sports fan, Brandon is, so he's probably heartbroken. He probably cried himself to sleep last night. It's crazy because I had this thought that the T-Wolves might actually put up a little bit more of a fight last night. I thought they might. I mean, I didn't think they would win the series, but I didn't think they would roll over in the way that they did.
They were beaten into submission. Their heart was pulled out.
Yeah, it was not good for the T-Wolves. I think at one point
when you get beat at home like that,
by 30 points. Yeah. I mean, they were done. And Anthony Edwards, I mean, I would have thought that, you know, he could have maybe carried that team a little bit more last night than what he did. You know, there was a point where I think at halftime they had one of in all-time history in the playoffs, one of the fewest field goal percentages or like made field goals at halftime of any team that's been in the playoffs. Like, it just, they couldn't make a shot.
They couldn't score.
Even lower than the Atlanta Hawks in 86?
I mean, it was up there. It was not good for the T-Wolves at all. They couldn't get anything done. And you know, that's the hallmark, the trademark of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are smothering defensively. That's what they did to close out the series against Denver in the semifinals. That's what they did last night against the T-Wolves. And they showed why they are, I think, the best team in the NBA. It looks like the Pacers are going to be able to move on and represent the East in the NBA Finals. But I'll say it again. I'll double down on this, Max. I don't care if it's the Pacers or the Knicks. The Thunder, they're better than both of those teams.
They have
They have home. Yeah, they have home. I mean, they're better than both of those teams.
The Knicks shouldn't be there.
The Knicks shouldn't be there. But, and you know, the Pacers have flexed a little bit on the Knicks, and the Pacers can close out their series and move on. I just think that it's not going to matter. I think the Thunder is just, they're too good.
And the Pacers were in the Eastern Finals last year, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first time that the Thunder have been in the finals since 2012. I mean, you got to go back all the way to, you know, the Durant and Harden and Westbrook year that the Thunder made it to the finals. But I mean, look, they have done it with their defense. They've done it with their athleticism. They've done it with their size and their length. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, gets a lot of crap about how he's a free throw machine, and that's all he does is get to the line. I didn't feel like really get to the line a ton last night. He didn't have to. You know, the Thunder, they were able to get it done without that.
Do they go inside? I didn't think anybody goes inside anymore.
Yeah, I mean it's a different kind of play, and really they prioritize their defense. They prioritize, you know, shutting down you know, the other team and making it super difficult for their opponent to get to the bucket, and that's what they did basically throughout the entire series. I guess the reason why I thought, Max, that the T-Wolves would maybe put up a little bit more of a fight is because Minnesota was able to get a game, and they looked pretty good in game three. Like, they looked pretty good against the Thunder. And then it was a very, very tight margin in game four. I thought, okay, like, yeah, the Thunder still are probably going to win this thing, but I felt like at least Minnesota had built up a little bit of momentum to, I guess, at the very least, put up some kind of fight. But they didn't.
No.
They didn't at all. I just don't know how you can go out like that. I don't know how you can go out by losing by 30, you know, in a game when your back's up against the wall. And look, I know that they were overmatched.
They broke their will.
They did. And I think that this just, again, it just shows me that, you know, the Thunder, they're going to be rolling into the finals with a ton of momentum. It's not going to be easy for them. And I think we're all assuming that the Pacers are going to be able to get it done. Pacers are going to probably represent the East. I can't imagine the Knicks are going to be able to win three in a row to come back. So more than likely, we are on a collision course to an OKC Indiana Pacers NBA Finals. And it's not going to be easy by any means. I mean, the Pacers are good. Tyrese Halliburton has shown, you know, this series against the Knicks that, you know, he is one of the best players in the NBA. He's shown that.
He's shown he can deliver.
He's shown he can deliver in clutch moments and all of that. When the Knicks had been the clutch team in the playoffs up to this point, it's been Halliburton and the Pacers have been able to get it done. So it's not going to be easy by any means for the Thunder. I don't think they're going to cruise in the NBA Finals by any means, but I do think that based off of what we saw, and remember, the Thunder struggled a little bit, you know, against the Nuggets at one point during the course of the semifinals. And at the end of the day, like, they got back on track and they took it to the T-Wolves last night. A 30-point win for Oklahoma City as they move on to the NBA Finals. We'll see if the Pacers can close things out. You know, one other thing that the Pacers have is that they've got a really experienced coach in Rick Carlisle. So even though it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be a daunting task for Indiana, they've got a coach that can definitely game plan for what the Thunder want to do to them. So it's going to be an interesting series, presuming that the Pacers are going to be able to close it out against the Knicks. We are just getting started here this morning on Sports Daily. A lot to get to. We'll dive into the Royals salvaging that series last night against the Reds. We'll talk about that and the prospects of maybe a new ballpark and some details and news on what happened yesterday in that whole saga as it continues. We're just underway here on a Thursday morning at Sports Daily. I'm Tommy Caster, Max Power producing the program. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, Max Power producing the program. Just for a few moments here, at least, we've got our buddy Jacob Albrocht joining us from, it looks like, a beautiful hotel room. Jacob, good morning.
Yeah, it was interesting trying to find like a background on the fly here. But we got
you. Is that a Motel 6? Right, are you in like a Super 8?
A beautiful
presidential suite.
Mid-tier. Okay. Mid-tier, just had a little continental breakfast. So we're ready to rock and roll here before.
With fluffy
before my
pancakes?
Day.
Yeah, are you using the waffle maker down there in the continental breakfast?
Yeah, hang on. I'll show you here what you get.
Oh boy!
All right.
Oh boy, I cannot wait. Continental breakfasts are a little. Oh my gosh!
Oh, we're shaped like Texas.
Yeah.
Don't ride in a convertible.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't usually get these, but it said like vanilla batter, and I thought that sounded pretty good. So
that is a massive waffle, by the way. That's one of the larger. It's bigger than your head.
Yeah, and my head's big.
Yeah,
I won't eat all this. Don't worry. I made an egg sandwich too. It's good. I like this hotel.
Holy cow! Well, we appreciate you jumping in for a few minutes here, Jacob. We talked NBA Finals last night. The Thunder punching their ticket. The T-Wolves just kind of rolled over and couldn't get anything done last night against the Thunder. We actually think, by the way, and this was a little bit of a speculation from Max in the first segment, that the reason that Brandon is not here this morning is because he cried himself to sleep last night with the T-Wolves rolling over last night. So the Thunder make their way into the NBA Finals. But let's talk a little Royals while we've got you. The Royals are able to salvage the series against the Reds at home. It was another stellar outing from Noah Cameron, who is pitching unlike anybody we've ever seen as far as through his first four starts of an MLB career. Like, nobody's done what he's done. You have to go back to like the late 1800s to see another pitcher that is able to produce through his first four MLB starts the way that Noah Cameron has. And the Royals have absolutely needed him as they were able to salvage the finale of that three-game set.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure. It's like a lighter version of Cole. Well, maybe lighter is not the right word. It's an earlier version, I think, of what the Royals saw with Cole Reagans. You know, they make that trade, they get him over, and he is far better than anyone could have anticipated, even the Rangers. Now you've got Noah Cameron get a call up. And look, I think even the most optimistic scouts or executives or whoever wouldn't have seen this coming, and this isn't sustainable. He's not going to do this forever. He was a little bit more hittable, but he's showing, I think, he's got way more savvy than most guys that get called up. I think there's no question he's got to stay in the rotation right now, and if that's at the expense of Michael Lorenzen, who struggled a little bit lately, that's fine. Or, as we talked about either yesterday or in the last couple days, maybe they just go to a six-man rotation because you've got at minimum a hobbled Lugo and Reagans. I kind of like the idea of just leaving him up there and going a six-man rotation, honestly. But if not, you've got Lorenzen, who's been an effective bullpen guy too. By the way, the bullpen is a little bit shaky right now. Ursig didn't appear last night, which was the right play, I think, from Cotraro. Ursig's been rocky, the rockiest we've ever seen him in a Royals uniform. And so he lets Estevez, the old grizzled vet, get in there and do something he hasn't done in, what, more than a year, it feels like. So I think Cameron has become this really interesting story that's not going to be allowed to just be a call-up or a fill-in. I think at this point, he has to stick. How they do it, I think they've got lots of good options, but there's no world where you can send him down. No chance that he is not he's either a part of the rotation or he's a trade piece. One of the two. Like, he's got to be, he can't be in AAA anymore.
Yeah, I mean, every time he's going out there and, you know, just being masterful on the mound, it makes it that much more difficult for the Royals to send him back down once their rotation gets back to full strength. It does look like, by the way, that Seth Lugo will be rejoining the rotation this weekend. In fact, I believe Friday is when he is set to, you know, rejoin that rotation. Not sure about Cole Reagans, but at least they'll get one piece back. And so until Reagans is ready to go, they don't have to necessarily worry about what they're going to do with Cameron. The stat that everybody has been talking about, Major League Baseball posted this last night after the Cameron outing. He's the second pitcher, only the second pitcher since the year 1893 that has 6 1/3 plus innings pitched and one run or less in his first four major league starts. Think of all of the pitchers throughout history, all of the Hall of Famers, all of the Cy Young winners. I mean, guys like Nolan Ryan and Sandy Koufax and, Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux and Pedro Martinez, all of the greats. None of them have done what Noah Cameron has done through his first major league starts. And yeah, I think you're spot on to try to temper things a little bit. Like, look, it's not always going to be this way. He's going to come back down to earth eventually. But for right now, kind of riding that wave, riding the success, and appreciating that what he's doing at this point is unprecedented.
Yeah, and it's not that it's, I mean, he's not going to maintain this pace, but what pace does he maintain, right? Is this a guy that nobody was counting on that can all of a sudden be a number two, number three type starter in the major leagues for a while? I mean, you think about that. And the Royals have a lot of things to think about organizationally right now. Jack Caglione, we've talked about. Can't call him up too early and sacrifice a year of service time, no matter how badly you need him and no matter how ready he is. You have to protect that future. But there is very much a future that if Cameron is for real, that could start with Cole Reagans and Noah Cameron and Bobby Witt Jr. and Jack Caglione. And that's that kind of thing is really important, I think, to think about if you're the Royals now. Like, now you have to start to think about the development of Cameron. I cannot imagine there is a world where, and I think that they want to be aggressive at this trade deadline, where they would consider something like trading him, but it's at least an option for them if they get to that point, right? And it wouldn't be for anything that wasn't controllable or anything like that. So, I mean, it is a gift from the baseball gods to have a young guy come up unexpectedly like this and do what he's doing. And the thing is, like, when we watch him start, like, none of it seems fake, right? Obviously, he's not going to go 6 1/3 and not give up any runs every game. Like, that's not going to happen. But even last night when, I don't know, was last night his least, like, overwhelmingly impressive? Probably. He gave up 6 hits in 6 innings. Like, wasn't it 6 hits? I don't have my stuff in front of me because I'm on the phone right now. Like, that's fine. Like, you're living with that all day long. Do some of those hits turn into runs over time? Sure they do. But I mean, it's been wild to watch it, and you know, four starts, five, like, this is significant. Like, it's very significant, not just to this season, probably less so to this season, honestly, but to the big picture for the Royals. I mean, it's awesome.
I think as of right now, I mean, you mentioned Cameron as a future foundational piece for this franchise alongside Reagans on the pitching side and Bobby Witt Jr., Jack Caglione on the offense, laying that foundation long term. I'm going to put you on the hot seat for a second. I'm going to put you in J.J. Piccolo's chair. And we talked about this particular trade multiple times when the Rangers traded with the Royals and the Royals traded away Aroldis Chapman. And they got Cole Reagans in return, and that Reagans, piece of it, the success that he's had with the franchise. I think, obviously, long-term, the Royals won that trade. However, the Rangers got a key bullpen piece to win a championship. The Royals now, and J.J. Piccolo, could potentially be in a similar type situation with Noah Cameron, where they want to win a championship. And they may feel like they've got the majority of the pieces to be able to make a push and to at least get into the playoffs and make a run. If you're J.J. Piccolo, do you entertain the option of potentially using Noah Cameron as a trade piece to go all in potentially for some kind of middle of the lineup outfield bat to be able to potentially win a championship?
I always entertain everything. Nobody is untouchable, truly. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is untouchable, but nobody's untouchable. Like, I'd entertain anything. I will say this, and Reagan's is all I can think about when I look at Noah Cameron, kind of a quadruple A pitcher that's been blocked a little bit, that's just waiting. And I don't know if Noah Cameron comes up and has the ceiling of a Cole Reagan's, but he certainly has the floor. I would, if it brought me a piece that I can control, sure I would. I think, though, that the Royals are not nearly as desperate as the Rangers were in that season. The Rangers had never won a championship. They had been close. They'd had their hearts shattered several times. It felt like they were right there. They hadn't seen Cole Reagan's, even in a sample size like the Royals have been able to see Cameron. I don't know if the Rangers would do that trade again. They would in the moment because it won them a World Series. They wouldn't have won a World Series without Aroldis Chapman, and he wasn't even that good when he got there. But they had to have him. So it would take more than Aroldis Chapman, let me say that, if it was for Noah Cameron. But I doubt it. I mean, I doubt it. It would have to be another foundational piece and somebody that could help you. And I just don't think that player is going to be out there. I don't think there's going to be a player like that available. I mean, they're not trading him for a high leverage reliever. That's not going to happen, which is what they, you know, what's essentially what they traded Reagan's for. That was good fortune. So probably there's no chance they trade him. I can't even think of the example of the player. We talked about some of those Orioles outfielders. Wouldn't be Cedric Mullins because he's not controllable. But let's say it's Couser, or let's say it's Kerstad, or you know, one of these younger guys that they have, that they're plentiful with. Yeah, at that point, maybe I would think about something like that. Yes, but the reality is they don't have the starting pitching they have this year, next year, or the year after that. So now you're going to have to think about, okay, how do we start this? And I'm just telling you, like, if you can, for the next 5 years, if Cameron is for real, and you can start it with Reagan's, Bubich, Cameron, that's a good place to start for a small market baseball team. And then you can start it with Bobby Witt Jr. and Jack Caglione and whatever's left of Salvador Perez and a couple more years of any, like, they're okay. Like, they're looking good long term, and they're going to have to make some sacrifices in the short term this year and hope they can hang around to be able to maintain some of this. And I think that they will. I mean, I don't think they're trading Noah Cameron.
I will never forget. We're coming up on a year, and we had J.J. Piccolo on this program almost a year ago. I'll never forget having him on our program. And I remember specifically him talking about trying to balance the current needs of the team versus building a foundation for long-term future success for the franchise, and how you have to kind of balance both. And I think that, you know, a year later, that is absolutely the focal point. It's got to be the focal point for J.J. Piccolo. I think that if he felt like the window was fastly closing, quickly closing, sure, for the Royals, then yeah, you try to go broke right now. You try to go all in for right now. But then if you look at the foundational pieces, I think everything, all the signs point to, there's potentially some staying power with this team in the short term. And I know they've got Bobby Witt Jr. locked up long term. So as long as you've got him on your roster, you probably have a fighting chance. It's not unlike Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. As long as you've got Bobby Witt Jr. on your roster, you should be in the mix in some way, shape, or form. But you can't count on that. I mean, look at Mike Trout and the Angels, right? Like, they've had him for years, and just his presence by himself hasn't always, you know, turned into anything. So I think that while they've got a great foundational core in the long term, that window is not closing anytime soon with the pitching that they've got, with Lugo, with Reagan's. If they can keep Cameron, you know, I don't think they'll dangle him. I don't think that they will utilize him as trade bait, just because I think J.J. Piccolo has got to recognize, and I'm sure he does, that, hey, this is not a one-and-done type thing. This is not a flash in the pan. our window should remain pretty well open for years to come.
It will probably. And the thing is too, like they have shown us they will spend money, like historically. That this ownership group spent a lot of money to put this group out there. So don't ever take that for granted. Like there are small market teams that do not do that. Now, what are the motivations? Are they trying to get everybody fired up so they can build a new stadium? I think that's a part of it, but I don't think that's all of it. I think John Sherman he wants to win more maybe than prior ownership, or he's willing to, you know, to put his dollars behind that. And I think like baseball's different than everything else when you're a small market team, because you just don't look at what the Royals have struggled with and faced forever. Look at the long struggling teams across baseball and what they face forever. Like if you don't get it right in the hardest draft process in any sport, if you don't get that right, you're not going to have a chance. And even if you do get it right, you only get a small window of it. So all of that being said, no, I don't think you trade a piece like Cameron if you project him. Now, they still have to trust their scouting, though. Like if they think this is any sort of flash in the pan, if they think this isn't sustainable, then, yeah, you go make a trade. You know, you take advantage of that. I don't know, and we'll never know what they truly think about Noah Cameron as a prospect. We know they liked Cole Reagans. They obviously identified him and went and traded for him. What do they internally actually think about Noah Cameron is probably the best thing to know that we'll never know on that. Because if they look, if you don't think, if you got to trust it, like if you don't think he's going to do this forever or some version of this, there's never a better time to trade him. Right. Like, and if you're wrong, you're going to have to live with that and watch him pitch and be good for a long time. But as long as you make a good trade, you can do it without a lot of regret. They're not going to do it for a rental, but if you trade him, he's awesome and you get another piece that's pretty good. And then that's probably okay still.
Yeah. The Royals absolutely had to have the game last night to salvage that series against the Reds. It was a good offensive night for Jonathan India. He was able to get a couple of hits, and Bobby Witt Jr. added a hit. Vinny and Salvi went 0-for, both of them, in that finale last night, but the Royals hung on with a lineup that, you know, I think that we all kind of know outside of the top guys really isn't producing at a high level, but they had to have it. It does not get any easier for the Royals after the day off today. Back at home this weekend, a three-game set against the best team in the American League in the Detroit Tigers coming to town, but the Royals stay three games over 500. They're seven games back of the Tigers. They can make some big noise if they produce this weekend against the Tigers. They can get themselves right back into this thing this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you have a good series there and things are different. The thing is, though, the Tigers just keep winning. Like, they're not pretenders. They just keep winning. You're going to have to outpitch them, and you're going up against Skubal. And I mean, that's just the way it is. You're going to have to. I'm worried about the bullpen. Let me just say that right now, predicted before the series. I'm worried about the bullpen for the Royals a little bit right now. They've got to get that settled out, massaged out. This was the great fear with all the low scoring games, right? And the starting pitching maybe holds up, but there's no way the bullpen's locking everybody up every game and holding them scoreless for four innings. And we're starting to see that a little bit. Team like Detroit, that's what worries me probably as much as anything else in this series, is that it's going to be hard to hold that offense down right now when you're not getting anything on the other side.
Yeah, that series kicks off tomorrow after the off day today for the Royals. You and I will break down the Tigers series tomorrow here on the program. Appreciate you hopping in. I know you've got to go. Yep. I know you've got, you know, your other life that you got to deal with, but appreciate you joining us from the hotel room. Enjoy that Texas-sized waffle.
Yeah, I'll get over there and take down as much as I can.
All right. In our next hour, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will be joining us here on the program. And Max, you and I talked about it just for a moment during the break. I had the opportunity to co-host the Pledge Drive on PBS Kansas last night.
Nice.
Which was fun. I mean, I'm not a TV guy, so I had to get dressed up. You know, I had to make sure that I, you know, looked okay.
Wear a tie.
I didn't wear a tie, but I wore the blazer.
Nice.
Had the blazer, had the button down, talked about the benefits of public broadcasting asked for folks to call in and make their pledge. It was a little bit of a late night, a little bit later for me than, you know, typically what I expect, but it was fun. Had a good time doing it, and their pledge drive continues. We're here at Odyssey. We're a supporter of PBS Kansas. We help promote some of their initiatives, and so it was a good time to be able to go and do that.
Yeah, it's pledge time for PBS.
It is pledge time. With the, you know, they ask the folks to open up their checkbook and help support public broadcasting. So it was a good time to do that. The only mistake that I made was that yesterday afternoon, I went to the Windsurge game, and it was a beautiful day. And we had rain last night, basically all throughout the night. But yesterday for a day baseball game, it was really nice outside. Wasn't too hot. It was like the sun.
Yeah, the afternoon it got
a little warm in the afternoon, but the sun kind of came out. It was really nice. And I didn't even think about it until I got back that I got a little bit of sun. I didn't get a full-fledged sunburn, but I got a little bit of sun.
A little bit of red.
I got a little bit of redness. And I came back to the office. I went into the bathroom.
Pasty that he is.
I saw myself in the mirror, and I was like, okay, well, I got to go on TV tonight on PBS. That's going to look great under the hot lights in the TV studio. So it's kind of bad when it's like 65 degrees outside. The sun is barely peeking out from the clouds, and I basically sunburned. Yeah. So that's the way that it went down. But it was a good day for baseball. The weather was beautiful outside. The Windsurge lost to the Drillers in extra innings, but it was an entertaining game at the ballpark. And their series continues, by the way, at Equity Bank Park this weekend, kind of in conjunction with the opening weekend of Wichita River Festival. So it's going to be a busy weekend here in Wichita. Speaking of baseball, we talked Royals in the last segment with Jacob Albrecht. Some big-time news with the potential new stadium for the Kansas City Royals. This kind of came down yesterday afternoon and got a lot of attention. And I'm wondering where, you know, what the actual next steps are with this, because it could be a pretty big development for the Royals. They tweeted out a statement yesterday basically saying that an affiliate of the club, I don't really know what that means, but an affiliate of the Royals purchased the mortgage on the former Sprint campus in Overland Park. That had been an area that, I mean, a few weeks ago had been discussed quite a bit. And there had been a lot of speculation that that could be a potential site that the Royals would be looking at to potentially build a new ballpark in that area on the Kansas side. And that was quickly shut down. I believe, if memory serves, the Royals at the time shut that down and said that they, you know, continue to be exploring multiple different options and nothing concrete as of yet. And then the folks that were actually officing in that area got a note from the property manager, I believe, saying that there was no truth to that deal and all of that. Well, apparently there was some truth to that deal, as the mortgage, the loan on that campus, which is now called the Asperia campus, the former Sprint campus in Overland Park, purchased the mortgage, and it was, I guess, an affiliate of the Royals. And I don't know what that means. I don't know an affiliate of the Royals, Max. I'm guessing that means maybe like somebody that's got money that is not part of the Royals organization, but maybe has some kind of connection with the Royals, apparently bought the loan on that campus. So knowing that, and knowing that if this person had no connection to the Royals whatsoever, then there would be no need to put out a statement about this. But considering that this person that bought the loan on the campus is affiliated with the organization in some capacity, and we don't know who that person is at this point, that tells me that there's legitimacy to this, that the Royals are potentially pursuing this as a location for a new ballpark.
Is there a sponsor on that stadium?
As of right now, not that I know of. I'm sure that they would be working on that. I'm sure that would be something that
Kauffman's
they would want.
Kauffman's not sponsored by anybody? There's no...
No, it's just Kauffman Stadium. And I mean, they've got tons of corporate sponsors throughout the ballpark, but the naming rights, no. It's Kauffman Stadium. I would imagine that that would be a major, major focus of whatever this new stadium would be for the Royals, would be some kind of naming rights. It's interesting to me because there have been so many different potential locations on the Kansas side that have been floated, you know, whether we're talking about the Legends area or, you know, this potential location in Overland Park. I'm telling you, Max, as everything continues to move forward and the dominoes start to fall into place, it's hard for me to envision a scenario where the Royals stay in Missouri. I mean, I think they're coming to Kansas, like, especially with something like this. You don't have an affiliate of the team purchase the loan on this campus in this location unless you are serious about making this your location for a future ballpark. I just don't think that that's legitimate.
Unless they're bluffing and
trying to get
more money out of Missouri.
But why then buy the loan? And I know it's not the Royals doing it. I know it's somebody affiliated with them, not actually with the organization. But unless that independent person sees value in that campus outside of it potentially being, like, I guess I could see this scenario. Whoever this person is, or this organization, this group, whatever it is, that purchased the loan, maybe they thought, hey, this would be a great location for a stadium for the Royals. But if that doesn't happen, I can still make money. I can still make money with this location by doing something else. So one way or another, I stand to profit by purchasing the loan on this campus. I guess that could be a legitimate scenario. Maybe.
So you get leverage, just to, you know, if they're going to get money out of Missouri. But I don't think people want to have that on their tax bill.
I mean, absolutely.
People don't want to pay for stadiums anymore.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that, you know, the Missouri lawmakers have been unable to make anything like that happen, they've been unable to get anything passed. I read the other day that the Missouri governor is advocating for a special session to have lawmakers come back just for that sole purpose, to try to figure out what to do with the Royals and the Chiefs. I mean, clearly, the lawmakers in Missouri are flailing. Clearly, they are trying to desperately figure out some way, in some form, to keep the Royals, at least, and the Chiefs, for that matter, in the state of Missouri. But this development from yesterday, I think, is extremely telling.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that come down, and knowing, by the way, that this came from the official communications from the team, and it wasn't just like a reporter reporting it, or there, you know, there had been a source that was talking about it. Like, this came from the official, it came from Sam Mellinger, who's the vice president of communications for the Royals. And let me read a little bit of this statement that came out from the Royals. And this is the quote, the statement from yesterday. They say, the Kansas City Royals continue to explore all options throughout our community to develop a new stadium for the team. We have not yet decided on a site, and any assertion to the contrary is inaccurate. As part of our ongoing efforts, we have negotiated with or made investments in multiple potential sites, both in Missouri and in Kansas. One of these investments was the acquisition by an affiliate of the Royals of the mortgage on the Asperia campus through an arm's length bidding process. Okay, so they're saying that they have either negotiated or made investments in a lot of different areas. Like, they're scattering their chips out far and wide to try to figure out where that location is going to be. But I can't imagine, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe somebody has more information than I do, but I can't imagine that any potential site has gotten the kind of investment that it looks like this particular location has gotten thus far. Maybe they've had discussions and negotiations with multiple areas. I have a hard time thinking that a loan has been purchased for one location by an affiliate of the organization. I just don't think that has happened so far.
Who's the broadcast? Who's the communications that carries all the games? You think that could be the affiliate?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that it's got to be somebody that has
some
money.
Some connection.
You know, and it could potentially be somebody that has a connection with John Sherman. Yeah. I mean, it could be, and this is total speculation, I have no idea, it could be a separate shell company that John Sherman himself has set up that went out and bought the mortgage on this location. So it's not the Royals that did it, but it's another entity that John Sherman controls. When they say, quote, an affiliate of the Royals, that could mean anything. That could be, you would literally just need one step of separation away from the Royals to make it an affiliate of the team. And the fact that they put in this statement that it was an arm's length bidding process means that they were not directly negotiating with this group to buy the mortgage on this, it means that they were not directly involved in the deal.
But they were in the loop.
But they were in the loop. Yeah. And it could absolutely, let's just say hypothetically speaking, that it was a separate entity that John Sherman controls. And he hired somebody that is not an employee of the team, not an employee of the franchise, and hired this person just to go and negotiate. And so technically this person wouldn't be an employee of the Royals. And at that point, the Royals could be kept at an arm's length, quote unquote. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I think you can read between the lines on all of this. And to me, I'm not a smart man. I don't know the way that a lot of this stuff works. I'm not involved in real estate negotiations. I don't know what it takes to buy a mortgage on the former Sprint campus in Overland Park. I'm just telling you, if I read between the lines, if I kind of try to deduce and figure out what the intent behind this is, to me, this screams the Royals are coming to Overland Park. That's what it means to me.
Is that tax-wise a better situation to come here?
100%. I mean, with the star bonds that Kansas has in place to where it doesn't go directly burdening the taxpayers in the state of Kansas, it's all the sales tax that's generated from that area. I mean, knowing that Kansas has the mechanism to make something like this happen and to bring the Royals to the state, and Missouri doesn't, and the taxpayers have shown that they're not going to pay for it, and the lawmakers in Missouri have shown that they don't have an appetite for it, it's going to be Kansas. And with this acquisition yesterday, I'm telling you, it's going to be Overland Park.
Maybe Missouri figures we get the Blues and the Cardinals.
I mean, yeah, at that point, like, Missouri is already well-versed in losing teams.
They lost the Rams. They paid for that Cardinal Stadium, didn't they?
They did.
That's why the Chargers are now in Los Angeles, because San Diego built Petco, and they said, we're not building another stadium.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think the Cardinals, out of all the teams in the state of Missouri, they've got to be the most secure. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
No.
They're staying in that state. And that could very well be, you know, the state of Missouri, they could think, hey, we're good with that. Like, we don't want to lose you, Royals. We don't want to lose you, Chiefs, but we can't compete with what Kansas is doing. This is a pretty, in my mind, a pretty monumental development that you could call it an affiliate of the club. I think the club knows exactly what they're doing. And my gut tells me we're going to see the Overland Park Royals in just a few years from now. Very interesting development in the stadium saga up there in Kansas City. That's going to wrap up our first hour here in Sports Daily. Hour number two is on the way on the other side. It's Tommy Caster, Max Power producing. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.